You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Church Cape Town. The following message is an expression of our mission to love and honor God, love people, and make disciples who will transform society.
Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 4, and meet me in verse 13. And I want to speak to you on a message called Ordinary Heroes. Did you know that you are a hero? God is looking for ordinary heroes, and there are heroes in this church, and I want us to just look at the scripture, and then we'll pray and open this up. So in Acts 4, verse 13, it says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." In fact, in the NIV translation, it says, when they saw that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished. So let's pray today. Lord God, as we look at your word and what you want to do, what you've already done through the lives of others, but what you want to do through our lives, Lord God, we pray that you'd speak to us today. Lord, I pray that the God image inside each of us, Lord, I pray that the greater one who lives inside of us would unlock the hero inside of ordinary men and women here today. Lord, I pray that this word would achieve the purpose for which you sent it. Lord, I know it will not return to your void. So let your word have its way in our hearts and our minds. Let it transform our lives here today. And I submit myself to you. Lord Jesus, have your way. May you increase. May I decrease as I bring your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Ordinary heroes. How many of you love a good movie? Anyone enjoy a good movie? I love to watch a movie. Some of our children are older now. We can kind of watch some of the movies that I would personally go and choose to watch. For many years, I've had to go and watch those animation movies. In fact, I love the animation movies. I think I'm very glad that we've got young children and I can still go and see those movies. But when they're older, I think I might have to go on my own. But whether you're watching, you know, the latest action movie, thriller, or a comedy, or even an animation, it's amazing how many of these stories that we enjoy and we love to go because there's suspense in them, there's emotion. In fact, one of my favorite genres of movie is human drama. It's so relatable. You kind of picture yourself in the movie, and the script writers of these movies and even these TV series like this one a few years ago called Heroes, they're very good at hooking us, aren't they? They kind of, but one of the things they hook us with, I think, is actually a God-given wiring inside of us, and that's that. It's that desire for a hero. How many of you know there are problems in this world? Problems, some big ones. How many of you got anyone got problems in their life? You know, you think life, you could have solved them by now, but there's still some problems. And when we go into escape world, watching one of these movies and the hero, you know, and sometimes, I mean, they're introducing, the heroes have got a bit of a dark edge to them sometimes. They don't always follow the rules. Some of these heroes actually break the rules. And so it's interesting the way the trends go. But they hook us with this thing. And when we see that hero, we think, oh, it's going to be okay. You know, all this mess and this problem, it's going to be solved. Are our ushers waiting for us? Okay, this is our 2+5 offering. Sorry to interrupt. For those in need in our church, we make a habit of doing this each Sunday. So if you're visiting with us, please don't feel under obligation to participate. But this is for people in need. So just to pick up, so the hero in the movie is the one we kind of, oh, that guy. And you know, if at the end of the movie, that if the hero dies, you walk out of the movie like, what did they do to me? Like, you don't get many movies like that, but the hero has to come and save the day. He has to come and restore everything, fix the problem. And you go away with that sense of justice, that justice was done, or it's going to be okay. Oh, and then you walk out of the movie and then you hit the real world again. And the problems are still there. And you think, oh, where's the hero of today? And the reason why I said that that's a God-given wiring is because inside of each one of us, we know we are fallen human beings. And there's only one true hero. And his name is Jesus Christ. We all need a savior. Jesus is the hero of all heroes. And he has come. And he has fixed the root problem, the root cause of all problems, which is the problem of sin. It's a sin problem. If you trace any problem that we're facing, you can trace if it's a relationship problem or a financial problem or a political problem or a business problem. You can trace it to the breaking of God's commandments through the flesh, through just the desire for power, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of those things. I mean, it's in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, we see those are the root things. And Jesus comes, he says, I can deal with this problem. In fact, I'm the only one. I'm the Savior of the world. And I've come to pay the price for sin so that in me, you can find freedom. And so we thank God for the hero of all heroes, Jesus Christ. I just love the songs that we were singing this morning. Angela and your team, I really appreciate just the emphasis on the Lion of Judah. And that Lion of Judah, let me tell you, this is, you know, Jesus meek and mild and born in a manger and all that. But, you know, don't define Jesus by only that. He came in humility. He was born in poverty. Why? So that he can relate to us. He faced the impossible, but he has achieved it all. He passed, he did the will of God, and he's ascended. He was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the God the Father, and there he is. He's interceding for us right now. He's connected with us because if you know him, if you've received him as Lord, then you're with him. You and I are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, and he's got a hand on our lives, and he's got a hand on the throne. And heaven and earth are connected because of him, only because of him. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus. But right now, he's interceding. Right now, there's still a lot of problems going on in our lives, in the world. And the lion wants to roar. In fact, his ultimate roar is going to be when he comes again. He is going to come back. And he's not coming back to be born again or born in a manger. He's not coming to... He is coming, the Bible tells us very clearly in Revelation, he's coming riding on a white horse. And he's got thousands upon thousands of the hosts of heaven riding behind him. And he's coming to judge the nations. He's coming to fetch his bride, you and I. If you're a born-again believer, then you're part of the bride of Christ. Isn't this good news? And so the superhero of all superheroes is going to be coming back again. And he may come soon. He may come in some generations still to come. He may come in another 1,000 years. But while we wait for him, we need to be busy. We need to do what he has called us to do. We need to be faithful with why he's placed us in the relationships, in the business, in the career path or study path that you're on right now, in the school that we're in right now. He's placed us on this planet for a purpose. And our purpose is not just to wait for the Lion of Judah to come and the hero to come. He has come already and saved the world. We now to live out that salvation. So I say that as by way of introduction to say that God is looking to unlock the hero in you. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, he wants you to be an ordinary hero. Let's come back to our opening scripture in Acts 4. It says here that when they saw Peter and John and they perceived, they realized they were unskilled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Let me tell you, when you are with Jesus, when you are walking with Jesus, when Jesus lives inside of you and his thoughts and his word is washing over your soul and transforming your life, when you are being discipled unto the Lord in the image of Christ, let me tell you, though you be unschooled, though you be untrained, though you be an ordinary person, and we are all here today, we are ordinary people. When we are with Jesus, we are going to cause others to marvel because we've arrived to bring changed. We've arrived, and the hero inside of us is going to be unlocked to make an impact on the world. And I think the mistake we often make is we think, you know, a hero is someone famous. Now, I thank God for great role models who are famous. Unfortunately, there are a lot of famous people who are not necessarily good role models, but they're famous because of the money they have or the music they make or whatever the case may be. But of those, whether they're sports players or business personalities, you know, when they've actually lived a life of integrity and paid the price and followed the right path to get to that place, and God has given them fame, you know, we need to acknowledge that. And we need to say, thank God for that. But the reality is the majority of us are not going to be famous like that. That is, you know, celebrities are rarely, they're celebrities because they're so, it's so rare. You know, and so when a celebrity arrives in town, oh, can I get your autograph? Oh, look who's sitting there in that restaurant. And unfortunately, we get a bit caught up with the focus on the famous. But I want to tell you today, God wants to put the focus back on the ordinary man and woman. Can you say amen? Let's get our eyes off somebody else coming to save the situation. Someone else coming, you know, because we have to look to someone. No, God wants you to fix it. God wants to unlock the hero inside of you. And you're even better placed than the celebrity and the one who might have fame or power. So I want to explain that you actually have power. Though you may not have fame, you have power. I was in my sister-in-law's house the other day, and on her fridge is this beautiful note, and it says, "So, I am a social worker. What is your superpower?" And I was tickled by that. And so she is actually a social worker. So I chuckled. I said, "Oh, lovely note." Apparently, it's kind of been used a lot. Okay, so, but I mean, I take my hat off to people like social workers, our teachers. People who are in the trenches, working hard, often without recognition, tackling the most difficult situations, the most difficult problems, where there's been such a breakdown in society, and they are there bringing healing, helping the person who is the most vulnerable, the victims of crimes or injustice or family breakdown, and they are caring. Those are superheroes. You know, we don't have to get carried away in this age of, you know, Superman and Hulk and the Avengers. You are a superhero. And did you know you actually have superpowers? So are there any social workers here today? Okay, anyone? Okay, a little bit shy? Okay. We need more social workers. Okay, we need more careers in many categories, but here's a big one. But let's go through a few scriptures to explain that I'm not making this up. Okay, just receive the word of God. Let it minister into your heart today. Let it unlock the hero inside of you. Did you know God's word says that you are a partaker in his divine nature? According to 2 Peter 1 verse 4, it says, "We have been given great, exceedingly great and precious promises," which is speaking about the word of God, the promises of God, "that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." I mean, that's a radical promise. God says, "I'll take you out of corruption, and I want you to be a partaker." In fact, you are a partaker in my divine nature. If you just think about that for a moment, that means you're a superhero inside of you. And this is for those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If Jesus lives inside of you, you are a superhero. You are a partaker in the divine nature. The Spirit of God has made your spirit alive. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. He has now made you alive. You are born again. There is a life inside of you that is supernatural. There's a life inside of you that is eternal, that can never die, can never be snuffed out. And this is a life that should flow through every fiber of your being. It should influence every thought that you think, every action that you take. And it will literally change the world around you. So we need to remind ourselves. Can I use these scriptures to remind you who you are? Do you want that? I'm holding up a mirror here. And this is the mirror of God's word. And the Bible says it's a mirror. We should look into this mirror every day. And I'm holding the mirror up and I'm saying, this is who you are. Look at yourself through the eyes of God. This is what he thinks about you. This is how he sees you. And we should align the way we see ourselves to the way God sees us. Are you with me? Okay, here's another one. The Bible says that you will live forever if you know Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Then he turned to his sisters and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's speaking about you and me. Isn't this good news? You will live forever. Now, you know, when a fireman runs into a situation to put out a fire, there's fear, there's risk. His life could die. If that fireman knew that he was wearing a suit, a fire suit, that made it impossible for him to die, don't you think he'd be a lot bolder? He wouldn't hesitate, think, oh, this is a dangerous one. He'd just run in there if he had that guarantee. Would you agree? Well, let me tell you, in the spirit, we have been given that guarantee. You will never die. Now, your body is fallen. Your body is finite, okay? But in the spirit, you can never die. Jesus says, I give you eternal life, and no man can ever snatch you from my hand. You are safe in God's grip. And that should give us a boldness to face situations like no other. You know, you can only take a living person captive. Let me just flip this around here. And the amazing thing about the kingdom of God and the people of God is that we have died to our old life. We're alive now to Christ in a way that we can never die. And so therefore, we can never be taken captive by the enemy. We should never be able to be taken captive because we have this fearlessness about us, or should have this fearlessness. Let me give you another one. 1 John 5 verse 4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. The Bible says you are an overcomer. Look at yourself in the mirror. When you get up in the morning and you think of your problems and what are you going to do about them, when God sees you, he sees an overcomer. He sees the superhero inside of you. And we should look in the mirror of God's word. Okay, so if you need to do your makeup and shave and look in the real mirror, that's okay. Get over that quickly. But then go look in the more important mirror. And in this mirror, it says, when I look in there, it says, Gareth Stead, you are an overcomer. And I need to get dressed in that. I need to put on the armor of God. And I need to go and face my day knowing that I'm simply a success looking for a place to happen. That I'm ready to overcome the problem that maybe I couldn't solve the day before. Or the problem that's been unsolved for a long time. I'm an overcomer looking to make progress, looking to move the ball forward so that the problem will be more solvable by the end of that day if it hasn't been fully solved. Let me remind you another one. 1 John 4 verse 4. Look who lives inside of you. The word of God says you are of God. Little children, again, if you know Jesus, this defines you. You are of God and the one and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I need to remind you this morning. I'm reminding myself too, okay? The one who lives inside of you, his name is Jesus. He is the Lion of Judah. And he is on the throne. He can never be displaced from that throne. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in the economy, in the politics of our country, Jesus will always be on the throne. And so as I look into that and I see actually he's not only on the throne, but he has seated me in him in the heavenly realms. As I now have to live my life out on earth, on this planet, I have to look at it from the heavenly perspective, that I'm seated in Christ in the heavenly place, And he not only has seated me there, but he has chosen to live inside of me. So when I face that situation that's difficult and I go to that unsolved problem, I say, greater is he who is in me. The one who's conquered it all. The one who's come and done and showed me. It's going to be okay. I can bring that with me because he lives inside of me. And when other opposition, other forces come to her, you're not going to do anything. When fear comes, says, be quiet, sit down. Don't tackle this issue. I need to remind myself, greater is he who is in me than he who just said that. Greater is he in me than this force that comes against me. And so fear must bow. Intimidation must bow. Negativity must bow because Jesus is in control and he's in me. He's in control of my life. So I'm going forward. Let me tell you, we need to remind ourselves who we are. In this hour, there's a lot on the go. There's a lot of stuff. Social media, the media, all. It's overwhelming. I believe the tide is turning. But if it takes a while longer, we need God to do in us what he wants to do. And if he needs to take us through tough times to remind us who we are, then so be it. Can I remind you another one? In Philippians 4 verse 13, it says, Paul writes to the Philippians, and this is a letter to you and I. He says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You know that word can't? You know, when you ever face a situation, you look at it. I don't know, maybe you're facing, I'm facing a few things where I'm tempted to say, I can't. I'm, you know, sitting with some people, and as I talk, I get that word back. I say, I can't. Do you know what can't means? That T? It's T stands for try, okay? This is not an English lesson, okay? This is a spiritual lesson, okay? When someone says, I can't, I want you to say it back to them and say, do you know what the T stands for? It means try. I can try. If you think you can't, then you won't. But if you think you can try, then you at least give an attempt. And then along that way, maybe you'll remember Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's say this together. Come on, let's speak it. Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's say the previous one as well. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Now let's do Philippians 4:13 again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you feel the strength rising? Because that's the nature of the Word of God. It's not just hearing it. It's not just reading it. It's speaking it. We've got to do all of that. And that's how we meditate in the Word of God. That's how we renew our minds. That's how the Word of God becomes powerful, living, and active, transforms us, and then we become who it says we are. We have to remind ourselves every day. And let me give you one more. It says here in 2 Corinthians 4:6-9 that inside of you are light, incredible, supernatural light and supernatural power, even though we are earthen vessels. It says it like this. It says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's just pause there. I mean, you have to think about that. That is such a radical statement. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created the universe, the whole cosmos, billions upon billions of stars, galaxies, our solar system, just the sun alone, one of billions of suns and stars, he created them all, and he created them by speaking the word, let there be light. And he says there's something more powerful than the sun that warms up every day. There's something more powerful than all those suns put together. That is the light that I shine in your heart. This is a powerful supernatural force. And so I'm not kidding when I say you have a superpower. Okay, I'm not trying to, just make fun of movies that obviously are fictitious. But this is not fictional. If you know Jesus Christ, then inside of your heart, there is a light that has been shone. This is what the Bible says. And it is shining inside of you. So many testimonies have been shared about encounters with God, even people who have come back from the dead and have experienced heaven. And they all describe this light that looks straight through you, this light that is so powerful, brighter than anything that has been seen in this universe. Because the Bible says God is light. And when God says, I shine my light inside your heart, He says, I've turned you into not only you are born and created in my image, but now you are born again into my spirit. You are one with me and I'm one with you. I live inside of you. You are the light of the world. That light that's shining in you is meant to light up the world around you. And we are told in Matthew 5, Jesus says, because you are the light of the world, do not hide your light under a bushel. Don't put a covering over it and keep it just to yourself. You need to let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your light is meant to light up the world around you. It's meant to show other people who have lost their way how to get back in the right way. It's meant to expose wickedness, darkness, and corruption. Amen. It's meant to go to problems that are difficult to solve and bring light. That means life. It means grace. It means mercy. It means the ability to solve the problem because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I want to ask you, is your light shining today? Because the enemy wants us to believe that we're not meant to shine. The enemy wants to deceive us that we don't have the supernatural power from heaven. And God says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So just because the treasure is in an earthen vessel, what is the vessel? Our body. We are fallen earthen vessels with very, very much limitations, finite abilities. But when God comes to live inside of us, the sky is the limit. There is nothing that is impossible for God. He is just looking for a vessel that is available. He's looking for a vessel that's not focused on its limitations, but a vessel that says, if this is the way you meant it to be, your light in me shining, then let it shine. So don't get focused on the vessel. Get focused on the light. Amen? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Because it's not about you. It's not about you becoming famous. Or look what I did for this company. Or look what I did, you know, in my studies and, you know, the marks. No, no, it's about what God wants to do. It's not about the vessel. It's about His glory in the vessel. And He wants excellence. He wants breakthrough. He wants great achievements. He wants you to advance and bring blessing to that company or that family, that organization, but He wants it for His glory, not yours. Amen? And that's why He loves humility. He loves that humble earthen vessel that says, it's about you, God. Maybe of God, not of us. And then it goes on with some encouragement. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Let me tell you, you cannot quench this light. You cannot shut it out. Though you face hardship that looks destructive, though you face stuff that looks like it's over, let me tell you, the light can never be snuffed out. You can never die. Even though your body dies, your spirit can never die if it is one with Christ. Because He is the resurrection and the life. Now, many of us here today, we should know this stuff. But just because you know it doesn't mean that we mustn't remind ourselves about it. Every day we should remind ourselves of it. So I want to change track here for the rest of this message. An ordinary hero has to have some qualities. And I want to focus in on one of them in our remaining time. Courage. This is how it's defined in the dictionaries. Bravery. Intrepidity. How do you say that word? Okay. That quality of mind which enables one to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear, or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. That was from an American dictionary. You can see that's why valor is with an O. And in the Oxford dictionary, it said the ability to do something that frightens one. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been felt frightened? That's when you need courage. You see, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to take action when fear is real. That's when courage, you don't need courage when there isn't fear, when there isn't worry or anxiety, okay? It also means strength in the face of pain or grief. Now, let me come to that on the right in a moment. But, I mean, I was in a situation a couple of months ago where I think many of you might know, on a Monday morning, I do a 10-minute interview with Cape Pulpit on the radio. Okay, you should tune in, 729 a.m. Okay, at 730 a.m. Okay, so it's on the a.m. channel. That's the not the FM, the other one, okay? And it's at 7:30 in the morning, okay? But the channel is 729. It's not 567 Cape Talk, okay? It's the other one, okay? So just skip that one and go to Cape Pulpit, okay? And they asked me this question, what is the Christian perspective on the news? It's a great opportunity to bring God's view from the Bible of what is happening in current affairs. And so when they first asked me to do this a few months ago, in fact, earlier in the year, it was quite a few months ago, I was up for it, and I think the very first time I did it, I thought, oh, this is radio work, this is, and it was quite nerve-wracking. I mean, how many of you are afraid of speaking in public? Be honest here, okay. Let me tell you, that's a real fear a lot of people have. I think I was. I'm used to it now, okay, because I do so much of it. But you change the situation, change, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be this audience size, but it's just that fear can come back to me. And it did. Let me tell you, I got on this radio, got into the studio. There I was with Brad Kirsten and Vanderbum. They run the kind of the Get Up and Go morning show. And there I'm in the studio with them. And suddenly it hits me that there are a lot of people listening to this conversation. And this fear comes. And we're like paralyzed. My lungs. It was like, where did this come from? And it was just being conscious that I'm out of my comfort zone. And I'm, oh, and... And then the worst thing happened. The chair that I was on, I think that was rigged. It was like Leon Schuster was hiding somewhere with a movie being made here because my chair starts to sink. So I'm suddenly struggling for breath and my words are, it's just all coming out bad. And I'm live on the radio. And the chair is sinking. I think Brad wanted to pack up laughing. He's sitting there looking. But I think he was just feeling sorry for me. So I'm looking at him with this desperation. And I mean, I have to talk for 10 minutes. So it's not like just, you know, hand it back to you and swig of water, you know. And eventually, you can see me sinking in the chair. And the microphone is here. So he bailed me out. He kind of interrupted the little thing I was doing. And he spoke a little bit. I could breathe, Gareth, breathe. In fact, this is a real good lesson when you're facing fear. Breathe. Breathe in. Hold it. Count to four. Breathe out. Count to four. Breathe in. Let me tell you, that calms you down. And I made a comeback in the last 3 minutes of the interview. I could speak again. I got some oxygen in the lungs, but it was an amazing thing. Just it was like this weight on my chest. Whoa. And then the next week, I had to do the interview again. I thought, oh, this fear, it's going to come again. Do you know what? I had to get in my prayer closet. I had to dig deep in God's word. I said, you are a man of courage. What are you being afraid of? And the next week, it went better. The fear came again. It was weird. The fear doesn't come anymore. But for those few weeks after that chair sinking incident, let me tell you, it was bad. I had to face my fears. I had to get in there and just do this thing. And, you know, Brad's always so kind and comedy. He said, oh, you do such a good job. Well done. But he doesn't know what's going on in my mind. Like trying to speak properly. So whatever your situation, you have courage is required when fear comes. Because that fear wants to tell me to quit, If everyone's telling, oh, don't do this, you're going to humiliate yourself, you're going to say something so stupid, you know, just, and it's those are crazy thoughts. But it requires courage to face those crazy thoughts head on and say, you're not going to defy me, you're not going to rule me. Christ rules me. And he tells me, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. He tells me, I can do this radio interview because I can do all things. So this is real. I mean, I remember our son a couple of years ago getting knocked by a car and carrying him into the car, rushing him to hospital, and they put on a plaster cast, and they had to, and he was so brave. I remember seeing the courage in him as he faced pain. So it wasn't so much fear, it was more just pain, physical pain. But I remember him gritting his teeth, and then because, you know, the leg that had been hit by the car was so swollen, a double break here, both bones, clean breaks. I mean, his foot was almost dangling on his, so the pain that was going through there, he was just like, don't touch my foot, don't touch my foot. But he grit his teeth. I said, I have to get you to hospital, my son. So he kind of got the foot support, took all the weight off the foot, but just that, just getting him into the car, getting him into the wheelchair, getting him into the emergency room. Yo, the bravery, the courage. And then because of the first plaster cast was so swollen, they couldn't successfully get the bones back. They had to operate again about a week or two later. But before they could operate again, do you know what they have to do? They have to cut off that first plaster cast. I think that was when the pain was the worst. Because this is a week into the broken bone and everything. And, you know, the nerves are still there. There's still a lot of tissue damage down there. And the first operation has been done. So there's, you know, before they can fix it, they have to cut. So that's more damage to fix. And I remember being in the ER and preparing for the second operation as they get these big kind of clipper scissor things. And they have to cut. The plaster cast was right up here, right down there. And they cut from the top down. I think it was on the side, actually. And he'd look at this. Oh, and the tears had come. Just look at me, I just hold his hands and say, you can do this, son. You can do this. Man, I wanted to take his place. But he had to go through that. And he showed courage. I was just trying to give courage to him. And as he grit those teeth, I could see the courage come. And as they cut and as he got down to the tender areas, and they had to, the doctors had to, you know, pull it off. There was no way through it but to go through the pain. Because if he said, no, I can't take this pain anymore, then he would have lived the rest of his life with a broken leg. So to get the healing, sometimes you have to go through the pain. And that takes courage. That takes courage. And that brings me to this other definition. I love this quote. I'm sorry, can you go back there? Mary Ann Rochmacher. She says this. Thank you, Joseph. She says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is that quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. And that really struck me as I was preparing for this morning. You know, we mustn't make the mistake as we think of the ordinary hero God wants to unlock inside each one of us. We mustn't think that means you're going to run into a situation this coming week and just, I'm here, guys, the savior of the world. You know, with your cape sort of flying around, you know. Again, we're falling and then we're back to the movies. That's the hero in the movie, okay. The real world, we're not famous. We're ordinary people. Like the disciples, like those fishermen and those tax collectors and those uneducated motley crew that Jesus invested his life in. And sometimes the courage that God is asking for, just the courage to try again tomorrow. I don't know what you're going through right now, but maybe you're tempted to give up. Maybe you're tempted to not show up tomorrow. Let me tell you, God is saying, you can do this. God is saying, I see your courage. You don't have to be this, that movie hero. You are a hero to God when you show up. Even if no one notices how difficult that was for you, if you just try again tomorrow. God says, I see that hero in you. That's the hero I'm looking for. That's the one I want. Are you with me? Okay, so I mean, there's more here, but we're out of time. You know, very briefly, let me run through some things here. I mean, Joshua gets his courage from God. God says to him, he says, be strong and of good courage. Now, Joshua had to have courage as a leader. He had to lead people into the promised land. But then in Psalm 27:14, it also says, you need to get your courage from God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Whatever, whether you're leading people into the promised land or whether you're just going to try again tomorrow, wait on the Lord. Get your courage from God. Get your courage from his word. Remind yourself who you are through the eyes of God, and then go and apply it. Now, not only must you get your courage from God, but God is asking those of us here today to give courage to other people. Get your courage from God, but then give it to others. So I want to bring us back to the book of Acts in chapter 27. Paul is on a boat, and there's a shipwreck, and God has spoken to him. He's going to Rome, and he's going to testify before politicians and the elite there. So Paul, this is the missionary Paul, and in this boat, they face a storm. The boat is going down, and this is what Paul says. He says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Paul was speaking to God, and God showed him. He said, the ship's going down, but everyone's going to be saved. So he goes on in verse 25, keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Here's a classic example of somebody giving courage to others. Maybe you're on a ship, not literally, but figuratively, that is going through a storm. Maybe the ship's going down. Maybe everyone thinks the ship is going down. You need to get with God, get your courage from God. You are on that ship because you have to give courage to other people. Maybe because of you, the ship won't go down. Maybe because of you, even if the ship goes down, people will be saved. Because they didn't give up on the way. They didn't get taken out in the ship. They held on. They were courageous in the face of very difficult times. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. So the word says over and over and over for us to be courageous, to us to remember who we are. And so let me finish off by saying, I want to contrast fear and courage here. If you have the fear of speaking up, I want to say to you today, take courage to say what you're thinking and express yourself. If that voice comes saying, be quiet, they don't want to hear what you say, take courage, speak up, say what you're thinking. You, your words might be what everyone needs to hear. If you're afraid of confronting a person or a situation, take courage today to confront the personal situation that might be wrong or out of line, okay? It takes courage to do that. If the fear of rejection is coming, I want to say, my friend today, son, daughter of the Lord, take courage to reach out to someone. The worst that can happen is that they say no. But reach out. Take the risk. Maybe it's a relationship and you're thinking, wow, that could be a future spouse. I want to take that lady on a date. It takes courage. Faint heart has won no fair lady. It takes courage. And yes, you will face the fear of rejection and the risk of rejection. But the worst thing that can happen is that she says no. But you will never know. Maybe she says yes. You will never know unless you try. The fear of failure. It takes courage to take a risk. Try something new. Attempt something that may not work out. What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen, it fails. But there's something much worse than that, is if you never try. If it fails, you're one step closer to what won't fail. But if you don't try the first time, then you're going to get into the habit of being paralyzed by the fear of failure. Are you with me? Can we stand to our feet as I finish this? If you identify with some of this, just shout amen. If you're facing today the fear of making a wrong decision, today I want to break decision paralysis over you. Make the decision. It takes courage to make a decision. Make a choice. Be prayerful, yes. Submit it to God, but then exercise courage as you make the choice. What's the worst thing can happen? You make a wrong choice. But you know what? Two decisions are better than no decisions. Take courage. Even if you make a choice and down the road you realize, oh, I made a mistake. Make a second choice to make it right. Okay? But God cannot steer a ship that isn't moving. It's only when that ship starts to move that he can steer it. And some of us, it takes courage to get the ship. A ship is not meant to stay in the harbor. A ship is meant to get out into the open sea. It's meant to sail. It's meant to move. Take courage and get moving. If you're facing fears, like I mentioned, the fear of public speaking, maybe you've got a presentation to give tomorrow or this week. Maybe you've got an exam to write. Okay, it's not the fear of public speaking. Maybe it's an oral exam, okay? Or the fear of failure is coming. I want to say, face your fear. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. Don't say, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to ask someone else. No, no, no. You do it. Don't listen to those voices that say, I'm the worst. I'm least qualified. No, but who said so? Take courage. And even if you aren't the best, you can get better. If you're meant to do it, you go and do it. Give it your best shot. Face those fears. And even if the chair sinks, and even if they laugh at you, let me tell you, God isn't laughing. God's proud of you because he sees the courage. He sees inside of you the barriers that you're overcoming to face these things. If you're faced with a fear of insignificance, does my life count? Would anyone notice if I wasn't around, if I didn't show up? Let me tell you, there are some people in this world that only you can be the hero for. I have made it my life purpose, highest commitment after my commitment to God, that there are five people. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, but there are five people in this world that I'm determined to be the hero to. That is my wife and my four children. And I know there is nobody else that can be Wendy's husband. There's no one else who can be Rebecca and Peter and Matthew and Gabriella's father. That is my job. And I'm determined. And you know what? They're not looking for a mediocre husband or mediocre father. They're looking for a hero. They're looking. And I don't have to be famous. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to be successful in the way the world measures success. I just have to show up. And I have to just be there. And I have to say what I do and do what I say. And if I do that, I will be a hero to them. It's not difficult. But things come. Things come and confuse us. Things come. And so the fear of insignificance is there because I'm thinking about the wrong people. There might be one other person in this world, only one, whose life needs to matter. But it's only through your life that they'll know that. So I want to be straight to you today. I want to say, get over your fear of insignificance. That's a lie from the enemy. Take courage. Take care. Your life matters. Your life is significant. Because if you stay with that fear, if you're bound by the fear of insignificance, that other person who's feeling it even more than you will never know that they are significant. So the eyes must go off of yourself. Your eyes must go onto God, and God will help you put your eyes on somebody else. And when you make your focus somebody else with the love of Jesus, let me tell you, your life takes on meaning. Your life becomes significant. And when you love them unconditionally, when you commit to help them, when you help them with their problems, let me tell you, when you go back home and you look at your problems will become easier to solve. Your insignificance you'll start to conquer it. You'll overcome it. Are you listening to God today? I believe the heart of God is breaking for these fears that hold us back. The fear of loneliness, I'm going to ask you to take your eyes off of your loneliness and put it on the loneliness of somebody else. When you take courage to reach out, and let me tell you, that is the hardest thing to do. When you are feeling lonely, the last thing you want to do is reach out to someone else. It takes courage. It takes courage. But do it. Step out. Take a risk. Exercise that courage. And when you help somebody else, when you go back home, let me tell you, you're not feeling as lonely as you were at the start of the day. Some of us are here overwhelmed by the fear of lack, the fear of the future. Will I have enough for tomorrow? What financial situations, employment situations, unemployed? God asks you today to exercise courage, my friend. It takes courage to believe for the future. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Put your faith in me, trust me. And that takes courage. Don't make your plans out of fear or anxiety about tomorrow. Make plans that are courageous plans based on a trust in God, and then act on those plans. If you identify with any of these fears that have been coming, that I've been mentioning, maybe I haven't mentioned the fear that you're facing, but you're saying there's stuff that I'm facing, would you raise your hands? I want to pray for you. Raise both your hands. If you're facing fears of any kind, Lord God, I thank you for every hand raised here. Lord, we raise our hands as a sign of surrender to you.
Thank you for listening. For the latest episodes or to know more about Every Nation Church Cape Town, please visit everynationcpt.org.